You're listening to Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of Behind the Music Biz. Today it's me, Matt Brill, hosting this one, and I got one of my favorite people in the music business here. She's someone that I've known for a long time, and she is a talent buyer for Romeo Entertainment. Some of our good friends here in Nashville, Tennessee. We got our girl Carly Dibble. Sis, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm coming off of a long week, and I'm happy to be home.
Yeah, so tell me what you've, like, all the events. Obviously, we're out at Crossroads 41. Shout out to the good folks in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. But where have you been over the last month?
I have been, let's say a month and a half, been to Cheyenne Frontier Days for a couple days. Luckily, that was a little bit more for play than work. So that's always a good time. And then Lally Cooler, a new event in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Nice.
So we had Pitbull, Uncle Cracker, TLC, like awesome. Crazy random mix of people, but it went really well. Great first time event. Great event as a whole, I keep saying, like, but it happened to be the first time, so even better. And then this past week with Oshkosh, like you said, Chase County Fair in Imperial, Nebraska.
Which is one of your favorites.
It is one of my favorites. They're, like, I always say, my little babies. They are like a town of 1,200 people, but they'll get 4,000 people to their concert, and they know how to have a good time. So it's fun. We had a sold out night there this year, which, you know, it's hard to do right now.
And who was playing that sold out night?
Hudson Westbrook.
Wow.
With Ned Ledoux. So, you know, we threw in the established name with Hudson, and it was great beer sales too, even with it being a younger crowd. Then Grant Fisher, who's out of Nashville, he's been coming out too,
long time homie of mine. He was in Oshkosh as well.
He kills it. He knows what he's doing, that's for sure.
So I kind of want to back up, and I want you to kind of explain what it is that a talent buyer does, because obviously I know folks that are listening and watching this might not be familiar, and kind of your history of how long you've been with Romeo and how that kind of all started.
Yeah, I mean, I came from not music industry whatsoever, and talent buyer was a foreign word to me. If you would have said that to me, I would have had no clue. And I think even music industry people are like, yeah, we don't really know, but they do things and kind of all the things. And I think it means different things at different companies. We wear a lot of hats because it is a smaller company, which is nice, and I've gotten to learn a lot. I came from the marketing world in Arkansas, worked at a fishing rod manufacturing company of all things, got lucky, found Romeo, started as an assistant with Michelle Romeo. So she literally took me under her wing 6 years ago, taught me everything from the ground up, like servicing events. We service rep things too, help with marketing, like literally you name it, we probably helped with it, or helped find people who can do it, which is nice. But essentially talent buying, I always say we're like real estate agents. The strangest thing, but we're buying and selling humans who put on shows. So literally like human trafficking, but make it legal. And there's a huge audience there. So yeah, we're kind of the middleman. So if there's a venue or a brand or whoever it is that wants to have talent at their event, we'll do private events, casinos, anything.
The range of what Romeo covers, what you guys and like the whole team over there cover, is insane.
Anything that you need live music at and you need somebody to help you get that, we can do it. So we've had a lot of clients come over who have booked direct in the past, but they kind of realized like there's so many agencies out there now, and we try to have connections anywhere and everywhere. And even if it's not me personally, like one of my coworkers will have that, and we can help. So yeah,
it's because I went on the website to, on the website there's the where section, and you can kind of filter, and the amount of festivals and fairs and casinos is what really blew my mind. But then it's like the special appearance kind of stuff. You still have some of the like hard ticket clubs in there. You guys aren't even just in one region. I mean, the Midwest, it seems like, is like the bread and butter. But you go coast to coast. You go over the border into Canada.
Absolutely. We just started doing the Great New York State Fair.
Actually,
I think it started yesterday. So that's really cool to get up in that region. My coworkers have been killing it with that. They had Jesse Murph, I think today, actually. Or tomorrow, maybe. I don't know. Anyways, great lineups all around. Yeah, lots in California, Oregon, Washington. The company actually started in Nebraska. So my boss's grandfather, over 70 years ago, he was, I think, the first person to ever put an artist at a fair.
Wow.
So he, you know, fair king. And we always say, like, a lot of our clients are fairs, but obviously branching out into all the other things. So it's cool.
Yeah. What makes a fair different? Like, as we go to a lot of festivals. Yeah. I've been to fairs growing up and been out on the road with, like, back in my time with Muscadine and with Trey, where we would do some fairs. But what is it that's so special about a fair?
One, it's a, you know, like we were talking about, it's a government thing. Like, it's community funded. Most of them don't have set employees. So you're working with volunteer boards. Cheyenne Frontier Days is a bigger scale, but they're the same thing. Like, they're everyone working that event outside of some production people, obviously, are not hired people. Like, you have people that are truly just happy to be there and people who have been helping for 50 plus years. The fair manager at the fair, Chase County Fair, that I was just at. Yeah. So his last name is Burke, and his grandfather used to work with my boss's grandfather to get talent. So, I mean, Johnny Cash and June Carter played that fair. Dolly Parton played that fair. Like, anyone and everyone has played that fair. And so when I put offers in for artists to come play that fair, I always include that, because it's like, yes, you're in the middle of nowhere. You have to drive 3 hours from Denver to even get there. It's the closest flight. You can't fly into Omaha because that's even further. You're in the middle of nowhere, but, like, that's country. It's just like, you know, Raised Rowdy does the same thing. Like, you want to bring good music to good people and just growing that. And that's exactly what it is. I think that the fairs are the more affordable options. So as much as they're not glamorous, you know, it's not a festival. A lot of the times they don't have all of the things backstage that an artist would want, but you have good people at the core of it.
Yeah. And it's big time and in a small town, and it's the highlight of those folks' years.
Absolutely.
Like, people attending.
Yep.
It's just, and that's what I loved about Crossroads this year was it's a, Oshkosh has had a rich festival history, but with Crossroads and you guys dipping in, like, the fact that you guys do the all genre stuff,
because
a lot of times it's in Nashville, it's always been like country is the bread and butter.
Yes.
But you guys, I feel like, have been one of the pioneers, because with fairs, you want to offer something for everybody.
Very
Same
much
thing with
so.
Festivals.
Yeah. And I think I really got to see that. So I started 6 years ago, right before COVID, almost got my full year in before COVID.
What a time to start a new job and move to a big city.
Yes. I always say I got really lucky, because I got here, like, I got to meet a couple people, and then COVID happened. I actually moved back home, and then, thank goodness, very thankful, I got hired back pretty early, I would say, but events were coming back. So, you know, needed more people to work those events. And we needed a different genre to go into things and to switch up the fair world. So we really have always booked some rock and stuff, but hip hop, I mean, we saw Nelly was kind of our test. 5 years ago, I guess.
One
now.
Of the best performances at Crossroads, by the way.
Absolutely. He gets better and better. I mean, he is, like, locked in. His show is incredible. That was the best performance I've ever seen from him, and I bet I've seen him 12 times. He's awesome. Worth the money every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, we saw that year we had, I've told you, we had Nelly, Jody Messina, and Michael Ray all at the same fair, Aberdeen, South Dakota. So, again, nothing glamorous. Like, it is, you're in the dirt, like, literally you're partying in the dirt, but 9,000 people showed up.
Wow.
And to have that crossover, like, you wouldn't ever see Nelly and Jody Messina together again.
No.
You know, like, when is that going to happen? But streaming make things different. So you're listening to anything and everything, and just really tapping into that and putting together the weird packages that people are going to pay money to see those, because a hard ticket venue is not going to do that.
Yeah, talk about, like, you guys have so many, like, different cool concepts of, like, festivals. Like, Crossroads, like we've talked about, it's really cool. You guys do one, is it Tacos and Tequila?
Yeah, my coworker, Lacey, she has been crushing it.
That's mostly hip-hop, right?
It is. So it's more of your throwback. So you're going to have the Baby Bash, Mike Jones, Paul Wall, Petey Pablo, a whole mix of those people, anywhere from 6 to 12 artists on any of those festivals. And they've got now markets all over the country. The whole concept, same thing. They have a huge team, and that team is, they have it down, and now it's just like a copy and paste, and people are buying tickets, and they come out and they have, you know, their margaritas and stay all day and have a great time and usually come back for the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like right now, I mean, live music is, we were deprived of it for a little bit during that COVID time.
Yeah.
What was it like getting back to work and doing the, like, do you remember the first events coming out of the pandemic?
I remember specifically not, I feel like it was a blur, honestly, yeah. Because I came in mid-July whenever I first started at Romeo. So I was right on the cusp of events happening that summer. So before COVID. So I remember one of the first events, like the week after I started my job, was Post Malone at Cheyenne Frontier Days.
Wow.
And I was just like, who do I work with? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. I came from Arkansas. Like, this isn't supposed to be where I'm at. That first week, I went to get a guitar signed by Big and Rich. I was meeting their, like, assistant at a gas station to give him the guitar. And he was like, actually, just follow me. Like, you know, one of them just lives down the road. And I'm like, I'm going to Big Kenny's house. Like, I called my parents freaking out, like, this is so cool.
Yeah,
got to talk to him. He's the nicest human. Yeah, which is great. Wonderful. Yeah. But yeah, I coming out of COVID, I hit the road 2 months after that basically, and started learning how to do the service rep thing, and seeing everybody like actually coming out for events was wonderful. And I feel like it's been a blur since then, because more and more and more things keep popping up, which is a blessing and a curse. I feel like it's kind of starting to correct a little bit, just because there's been more tours coming out than ever before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. And things are kind of, some things aren't selling as well, but then you have stuff that, like the Hudson show, I mean, you have a newer artist selling something out in the middle of nowhere, like, goes back to the streaming, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, so much of what you guys do, like you talk about like how it's real estate,
mm-hmm.
and you want to get that ROI. That's a huge, I'm sure, a huge metric.
Absolutely.
For your clients and for your buyer and for you guys. So it's, you find artists that you build relationships with as they're starting out.
Yeah, you do. And it's getting harder and harder because they're growing so quickly.
Yeah.
So we talked about a few weeks ago, like, you know, you got to know people coming up from the club level and being out with them, or other people being out with them. We haven't had that as much because we can't have that as much. So, you know, you might get tight with a crew and have them, you know, maybe even at three shows, three fairs, whatever it is. And the next year they're triple in price and we only have a handful of clients that can afford them. So it is harder, but that is my personal favorite thing to do, is to find the newer artists that are selling the hard tickets.
Who's, like, who have been some of your favorites in that? Like, we talked about Hudson. I know you guys
Zach
met
Bryan.
Ty Myers.
Zach. So Zach Bryan, I'm not going to say prices. I've loved him since, you know, the three songs on Spotify days and YouTube videos and all that stuff. And so we were even at our old office. So it's obviously been many years ago. And I was like, this guy, like, we need to be putting him on stuff. I think I was pitching him, I'll say these, like, for $10,000. He was still in the Navy trying to pitch him for things. And he couldn't get the time off because he was still Navy. And then finally pitched him for Cheyenne Frontier Days, and I even, my coworker helped me with this too, but it was like a, I will put my whole bonus for the year on this, like, I'm telling you that you need to do this. And I know there's not ticket data because there hasn't had time to be ticket data, but like, I'm telling you, you need to do this. I think it was the fastest Wednesday sellout they've ever had, and he broke the merch record sales that year, beating Taylor Swift's merch record.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, this is my claim to fame.
Yeah.
Within the company, I'm like, please listen. Like, some of these streaming artists, some of them, no, it doesn't mean hard tickets. Some of them, it means tickets. So like, paying attention to that. And I do follow Raised Rowdy, but I always joke around with my coworkers. I don't really follow artists or music, like, related things, like management people, label publishing, whatever it is. I try not to follow them because I want to see what people are sharing organically. I want to see what my friends back home are already listening to. What, you know, my friends that live in Florida, wherever, I want to see what they're listening to, not what an agent's telling me, because an agent's going to be an agent. And as much as I love a lot of them, like, we can't listen to that all the time. You have to see what my fair in Nebraska, I mean, they're on it with their streaming, which I appreciate. I have to see what they're doing and know what's going on versus listen to Nashville sometimes.
Yeah, you have to get outside of the bubble.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
We need to do that too. Like that's a big thing. Cause it's like, we've been blessed to go to different events around the country, and me being a Northeastern guy, Nick being a Pittsburgh guy, and that kind of being in our roots, you see different things work in different markets.
Absolutely. That too. I mean, we've got a couple artists that we joke around. It's like, they're not from Nebraska, but we have the Nebraska circuit and they'll sell all day there. But you know, you put them in California, it's like, who is this?
Yeah.
Like, you just never know.
Yeah, it's a different thing. It's wild how different people consume and enjoy different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then some folks, like a Nelly, can go anywhere.
Anywhere. I mean, absolutely anywhere. Nelly, Ludacris, Lil Jon, T-Pain, obviously. T-Pain's highlight. Love him.
He's one that I haven't gotten to see. That I'm sure I will see at some point. So backing up, so you transitioned from working in the fishing world, the outdoors world, which is a huge part of the economy and lifestyle in you're from in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like, talk about where you're from a little bit.
I always joke around that I'm like the little Arkansas ambassador. Because I like wear my fish shirt all the time too. Yes, I moved away, but I also, the older I get, the more and more I appreciate it. It is small town USA. Almost everyone knows almost everyone because it does keep growing. Two lakes, three rivers. It's beautiful. Very, very underrated area. We try to keep it that way. I know there's actually a lot of artists out of Nashville that will go and fish on the river there, which is cool to see. But yeah, I keep saying it's a perfect spot for a festival. So if anyone would like to do that, please hit me up.
Yeah. What led you to wanting to take the jump from the lake area, from the lakes and the rivers, to out here in Nashville?
I have an uncle that lives here, and so I visited honestly probably about 5 times since I was like 10, 11, and I remember actually we had a dinner Christmas Eve on Broadway when it used to be, it was even before it was Rock Bottom, there was like an Italian restaurant there literally on Broadway, like by Acme. I remember eating there and then walking down Broadway as like a 12-year-old and being like, like, it made my heart happy. Like, there's a bridge that you go over when you are getting to Arkansas, to Mountain Home, where it's over the lake. Yeah. And I'm like, my heart feels happy. I'm like, I know I'm home. And that's the exact same feeling that I felt walking down Broadway. I was like, I love this. And so I just started applying for jobs and found it on Facebook. Not even my job. I actually applied for a marketing position because they were going to do a rebrand. And I drove over here that April, did an interview to be the next marketing person to help them rebrand. Didn't get that job. They ended up outsourcing and hiring someone part-time. And so I left all the Facebook groups, kind of gave up for a little while just because it was about to be summer and I could be on the lake. I got a call from someone at the company saying, hey, Michelle Romeo needs an assistant. I know it's not what you applied for. I know you didn't meet her, but we think that your personalities would mesh really well. Do you want it? And I was like, sure. I don't know even what you do, but sure. Yeah. So just literally learned everything from there.
I think that's a huge part to succeeding in this music world is whenever an opportunity presents itself, even if it's not what you picture, you got to go through that door.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I definitely haven't regretted it. Is there stress? Yes, there's stress with every job. But it's a lot of stepping back and realizing, like, hey, you're in the music industry. And getting to go to some of the events that I go to or be in rooms with people that I'm like, you do this? And, like, I'm in the same room with you. Yeah. Like, it is just, it's so cool.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What was the transition like of going from an assistant to a talent buyer?
The buildup, it honestly was pretty smooth. Again, like, Michelle made it smooth because she was constantly like giving me the opportunity to step up and go out with her on the road and train with her and meet the clients. And yeah, I don't feel like there has been much of a transition because it was slow and natural. And everything, I always joke, everything in the music industry is relationship based.
Oh, 100%.
At the end of the day, like, that means so much more than anything else. Again, I don't care what your background is, like, any of that. If you're willing to learn and just be a good person.
Yeah, that's honestly what it's all about.
Yeah.
And then you talk about how Nebraska, how that fair is like your babies.
Yeah.
What were some of the first your first experiences as a talent buyer? Did you start out? Because I know you had done some club stuff. Because I remember being a TM for some of those shows, which were awesome.
Yeah.
But do you remember like some of the first gigs as a talent buyer and growing stuff?
Yeah, there was a lot of crossover stuff. Again, just because that's how it goes. You know, you're like on an account with somebody else older than you, more experienced than you. Yeah. So there was a lot of crossover there. I'm sure there's like 4 million of them.
Because I know you. Because you became a talent buyer. What year? Like how many years ago?
Almost 2 years ago. Yeah, almost 2 years ago.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in 2 years.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in 2 years. Yeah, I mean, getting to do some club stuff in my hometown, that was cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. The Megan Maroney stuff. I know we've talked about her like freaking rocket ship.
Yeah, were your initial thoughts? Because I had Meg on back when it was in the round. I was lucky enough to have her back in, it was either 2021 or 2022, years ago. And she came and played, I believe it was like 3 or 4 times we had her on rounds, and I remember seeing it. But for you, what were your initial thoughts of her?
I didn't know who she was until Wonder came out. And I actually had a guy friend back home who told me about her. It's always the guys. So he sent me that song and I was like, I love this. Of course, it was like on my top played songs that year. And then I had the opportunity to put her for $500 in Mountain Home opening for Chase Matthew, 300 cap club. And I was like, yeah, of course. It was the day that her first EP or album maybe even came out. And so it was just her acoustic for $500. And then later that year, or maybe it was the next summer, I got to put her at Chase County Fair, opening for Ian Munsick, a little bit more than $500. Yes. But still, like, we just lucked out with that. And then recently had her at Cheyenne Frontier Days.
Which is just an iconic show, like the history of that festival.
Yeah, it's iconic. And she, absolutely killed it. Like, she broke the female attendance record, so beating out Reba, Taylor Swift, like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
As a, like, she's a human.
She's still early in her career.
I was telling everyone there that day, like, she's another one. Every time I see her, the show's better and better. And the fans, we had talked about it too. Being able to see the shows, honestly, outside of Nashville, I love Nashville and I love going to shows in Nashville, but seeing shows in other cities,
going in the wild and watching a show and being in the crowd, you have to.
There's nothing like it, and that is when you know if an artist is gonna have that longevity, because you can see an artist all day long in Nashville and then be great. And there's a lot of artists that I love their music, like diehard fan, love their music, but I also know I'm not going to book them at most of my events because it's not translating, or they might have the one song, but to see an audience sing every word, every song, it's the Zach Bryan feeling, Megan Maroney, of course. It's really special. And that's when going out on the road, as tiring as it is, like it makes my heart happy.
How many events have you been on the road for this year?
I don't know. Not as many as normal, which is good just because I have been more like computer work busy. Maybe 7.
Which is still, which is a good
And
bit.
I mean, when I say events, like those are, anywhere from 2 to 4 days long.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Is there like a season where you anticipate like this is road season where like the summer is when you're out?
We used to always joke. I act like I've been there for 20 years.
Years is a
while. So, it used to be so much more summer fair focused. So, you're going to have your fairs really late June through August, but now it's not seasonal. Like there are things all the time, especially now that we've gotten into stuff in California. I don't personally work on anything except for the Cali Country Cruise.
Can't wait.
Plug that one.
Yes.
I don't really ever work on much out there anymore. But yeah, it's all season long. Like I've got Arkansas State Fair in October.
That has to be a really cool account for you.
Being Miss Arkansas. Yes.
Being so proud of your home state.
Yeah.
Where do they do that at?
Little Rock. Okay, yeah. Cool. And it's actually indoors. Last year was the first year that I ever got to book it. And so this will be year two. And it's awesome.
Who do we have on there?
We have Trey Songz. So super pumped about that. Yeah. I know, I'm like, talk about throwback. Like it's great. 38 Special, and then Lone Star and David Lee Murphy.
Oh, that's a great little lineup right there.
Yeah, 3 days, you know, it's super, super quick and easy, and yeah, it'll be good. Yeah.
That's fun. That's awesome. How do you see, like, the, because there's, it's tough in, like, something I learned about Wisconsin, and I didn't know it until I went up there. I'd heard of it, but then being up there and meeting the folks that are part of the Oshkosh Festival company and stuff.
Yeah.
There's so much market traffic up there. Like, it's, there's so many festivals. You guys are even involved with multiple festivals and fairs up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that conflict with each other.
What do you think separates, what do you think makes a festival great to where it can stand out in a state like Wisconsin that has, I don't even know how many festivals, but all, seems like every weekend there's a different large scale festival.
And we run into that a lot of places. Outside of talent buying, and I will go back to, we are a smaller company. We have real humans across the board that genuinely care. I think a lot of people's titles, mine might even be, I don't know, is talent buyer, event producer. Yeah. So whatever we need to be involved in to make sure an event is going to run smooth and stand out, like, we can help. And again, even if it's not us personally, we can help. Like, we know somebody that can help. I keep going back to, it's the experience that the person has at the event. You want that to be good. Is if it's more bartenders, so there's no bar lines and people don't have the negative time waiting in line, you don't want that. Whether it's more bathrooms, like, just making sure that people are taken care of at your event. I mean, I keep going back to Chase County Fair because I was just there.
Yeah.
We gave away probably 2 pallets of water because it was so stinking hot. We ended up spraying the crowd with water hoses because it was so hot. But just genuinely making sure that people are good and that they're having a good time. And that goes back to, you know, the artists being well taken care of, even if there's nothing for them to do that day. Like, just making sure that everything's good all together is just how it has to be.
You know? And making sure that it's an event that the artists wanted. Because I remember being on the road and we would see certain venues pop up or certain festivals. I'm like, I can't wait to go back there.
Yes.
I had a great time. The day ran so smooth.
Yes. And I think that that's a big reason that, you know, Romeo's still in business too, and times are changing. And we, as a whole company, have talked about it so much the last couple of years of really focusing on that artist experience, because it's a small town, especially like business-wise, it's a small town. Artists talk, social media, I mean, that makes it even smaller. So if somebody doesn't have a good time, people are probably going to know about it. And so really telling our clients, hey, if you have this budget for an artist, maybe let's lower it to this and let's focus on the backstage. Let's focus on having all the runners, like, just making sure that they're good. Talk to the people in your town. If you're a fair, like, this past weekend, they're like, oh, we can have someone take them wake surfing. We can have, you know, anything you want on a golf course. Just making sure that they're taken care of, because I think a lot of people look at an artist and they're like, oh, they live on a bus. It's so fancy. It's so nice.
No.
That's not the case.
No, not, like, at all.
It's not the case. And people need to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say the biggest challenges are that Romeo faces as far as just being a smaller company with a great legacy? You talk about going back to the Bear King days.
Absolutely.
But like you said, the world is changing.
It is.
The prices
quickly.
Of stuff have gone up. The number of events have gone up. The cost of goods have gone up.
Literally, like, everything.
What are the challenges that you, someone in your position that teeters into the marketing side, you're involved in? Really, what's cool about Romeo is it seems like everybody's a little involved in everything, which is awesome for a company to have. But for what you face on the talent buyer side and just what you've seen now.
Yeah, I think that there's a million different challenges. Like, it goes back to the having a good relationship with your client. You know, you could pitch them an artist all day long, and if they don't trust you, believe in you, XYZ, there's a difference in, you know, we used to have all this ticket data, but if you're trying to book an upcoming act, like, it's a trust thing. And also just let's pray to God that it does work out whenever it's us really pitching stuff hard. That's difficult. And prices and, you know, us compared to a huge company. Yes, we have a lot of clients, but that doesn't mean that we can't force them to do anything. You know, we can really want to put 12 offers in for this artist in hopes that we get a better deal. So our clients get a better deal, But at the end of the day, it is an art call. So that's hard. So we're not, you know, putting together full runs of tours. It might be 2 or 3 dates here, 1 date here to go with another festival that's not ours. So just trying to figure out logistically that. And then we are growing. So talking internally and helping each other out internally, which is good. I mean, because we're growing, we do have more of that. But yeah, it's hard. Every day there's something new.
Yeah. And I feel like you guys have multiple wings now too, where it started out as the Fair King days and the Romeo legacy of being involved in events all over the country, particularly like California, Midwest.
Yeah.
But now to have a wing that helps out with the sponsors, now to have a wing that helps out with the media and marketing.
Yeah.
Like, you guys really do have like that one-stop shop thing.
For sure. Well, and the beauty of it is all of those things can lead to more business in the other realms of things, but also like making sure that clients know they don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, clients need to know that, oh, well, I don't want to use this service that you provide, so I can't use this. That's not the case. Like, we're just happy to be there. Like, it's fine. Yeah. We'll all work together regardless of who you use.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And for you, like, what are like the big end goals? Like, where do you see yourself, or does it change every day?
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know.
I've always loved Raised Rowdy, like since Nick started back in 2017 and him and I became internet friends. And
I remember
the first time he did a Whiskey Jam takeover, and
might've
been cause I was a little stoned, but I remember telling him, like, I remember looking back on it being like, I was intimidated to go up to Nikki T because I was like, this is Raised Rowdy. They got their shit going on. But I never envisioned that I'd be doing what I'm doing now. It feels like it evolves over time, but like,
for sure.
Where do you see yourself like in the future?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because I wish that I knew.
Right?
Like, I have no idea.
How old are you two?
29.
So we're right around the same age. Yeah. I'm 30, so we're part of like that same class.
Yeah, it's crazy. Sometimes I'm like, well, should I be doing this or this? And I'm like, I love where I'm at because I do get to touch a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
If I went anywhere else, it's so, you know, pigeonholed into one thing, whereas like I can come and, you know, we can have lunch and talk about new places to put you guys at because it's still our clients. And then I can go to a concert from pretty much any genre in music and have connections there and all the different agencies. And like, I don't know. Hopefully just, you know, keeping the clients that I have and finding new ones. I would love to be like in the private event space and doing a lot of brand things like that. I think that I would really like that. I've got one, but
talk about the private stuff, because that's a whole other world, and that's a way that so many artists, if they're not selling hard tickets,
they're gonna make their money that way.
Many guys, like, I joke around, I call like Waka Flocka the frat party king of the South. Like, he has made an entire second career and a whole second chapter of
this
just
is true.
Being
and there's
the
no,
college act
you know,
himself.
You don't have radius for that stuff for the most part. And, you know, I always joke, but it's so serious. Everything is an it depends answer. Like, I had someone training with me this past weekend, or I guess Monday and Tuesday, and she would ask me a question. I'm like, it depends. It depends. Like, that's what it is. So some of those things will have a radius. Some of them won't. Some of them might be, you know, a few hundred people. Some of them it's, we do one in South Dakota and it's a brand appreciation thing, but they also have customers come out too. And it's like a farm equipment company. But they've had Warren Zeiders, they had Hardy a couple years ago, they've had Brothers Osborne, and they'll have 9,000 people come. So that's really fun too. To not have to worry about selling tickets is a beautiful thing.
And you talk about radius. What is like an average radius clause? What is it usually?
Every client's different.
I know, it all depends.
Yes,
depends
it all
is
depends.
The key word of this whole thing.
I mean, I would say standard anywhere from 150 to 2. But then, you know, you're going to get into the markets like LA or things like that where it changes. And
you mean one like 150 to 200 miles?
Miles, yes.
Which is like a few hours of radius.
Yeah. And especially, you know, when you get into Montana, I know that there's some festivals up there. They'll put 300 to 400, not ours, but other festivals will put those huge radius clauses on there because their people are used to driving. Even in Arkansas, like, I would regularly drive at least 2 hours to go see a concert because I had to. But, you know, that opens up all of those. But the, you know, same person, John Party and Colby Acuff, me being with Colby, I'm like sitting here looking at his poster over there.
Oh, yeah.
So Colby is playing Jonesboro, Arkansas, and also playing Rogers, Arkansas. Perfect routing. And they're outside of each other's radius. So, yeah, I could drive to either of those. So I don't know what their radius is for that one, but I'm probably right smack in the middle of those two.
What were the shows that you were going to growing up? Do you remember your first concert?
I remember because I was told. I saw the Dixie Chicks. It was my first concert ever. I was in third grade.
So that's like 03, 04?
Probably.
Yeah.
So
I was in third grade when I went to my first concert.
Yeah.
Too.
So it was at the Pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, the Bass Pro Shop.
Well, so before Bass Pro, they used to do concerts in there. And my mom and my aunts took me and my girl cousins on that side. We sat, I think our heads touched the ceiling. And my mom always jokes. She's like, Carly, you cried when we left because you didn't get to meet them. You didn't understand the concept of a concert.
Yeah.
And then we met, I think their chef or something, in the parking lot, and that made me better. I stopped crying after
That's awesome.
But I didn't really, I mean, my parents, they like music, and so I, you know, grew up listening to the radio and everything, but concerts weren't really a thing for me until later in college. Like, I would start driving. Actually, the first artist that I ever got into that's outside of mainstream country, Reed Southall Band.
Wow.
And it was before Reed Southall Band, it was just Reed Southall.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that like completely opened me up to that whole genre of music. And I've been like diehard.
That's what I like about Arkansas too, is you guys are geographically located to where Red Dirt's right there. I don't think people realize how close Arkansas and Oklahoma are, and how close Arkansas, obviously Texas is right there. The University of Arkansas, half the student body comes from Texas.
Literally.
But you also are Southeast, like SEC country, to where you get what's coming out of Nashville.
Yep.
So you guys, Missouri, you get that perfect blend.
George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
I love that place.
Me too. I mean,
it's
I've seen
the most underrated clubs in the country.
It is. It absolutely is. There's a new venue really close to there that is a bigger capacity and obviously newer, but like George's is a must play. Like if I had an artist that was coming up, like you have to play George's.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Even if it's a two night thing, if you're, you know, too big for that, it's just an iconic venue.
Yeah, the first time I went in there, it was right before COVID. So it would have been, I want to say school's in session. So it was like fall or winter.
Yeah.
Which when school's in session at U of A, it's the best.
It is.
And it was with Muscadine and Randall King opened up.
I was probably there.
And it was, they had me selling merch on the, on like the front room stage. Like they let you.
I need to look back at my pictures because I was probably there.
It was 2019.
Yeah.
And it was in that room. It was just, you could just feel the history.
Yeah.
Like some of those old clubs that you go into, particularly in the Southeast.
Yeah.
There's just so many cool things. So you talk about Southall. Who were some of the other artists where like teenage, college age Carly was diving in?
I'll always say Cody Johnson's my number one. He has been since he was playing George's and like Minglewood in Memphis.
Yeah. Minglewood, another one.
Yes.
Multi-room venue too, which I always love those.
Yeah. I mean, he truly is like my favorite artist. Miranda Lambert. I have never gotten to work with her. But love her too.
Yeah.
There were actually a couple years, the last 4 years maybe, I've seen Cody Johnson and Miranda Lambert. They just happen to go through around here in January. So it's around my birthday. I'm like, every year, that's my birthday present.
When's your birthday?
The 25th.
25th? On the 23rd.
Oh, there you go.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We're learning more, learning new stuff about each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the whole, like, do you still try to get to shows that you're not working?
Absolutely. I love to. And that's what all my coworkers know. As soon as I stop enjoying going to shows, now I might be more of a snob. Like I like the GA, but it depends on where it's at and who I'm with. Like as soon as I stop really enjoying live music, I don't need to be doing this job anymore. If I'm not passionate about it, then like, what am I doing?
Nick and I say the same thing.
Yeah. There's something wrong and I should never let it get to that level, which is hard because, you know, you deal with somebody on the road and it might not even be the artist that is not making it a good day. And it's like, you're going to hold that grudge. And I've had to really let that go because it's like, oh, I love your music and I don't want to picture that. you know, but yeah, I mean, I'll drive back to Arkansas. I'm going to the St. Pete Country Fest.
Oh, nice. That's going to be a good one.
Yes. And I'm going with my cousin and then two of her friends that I haven't even met before, just to be a fan, like just to go and listen to music and have fun. And that's my vacation for this
that's
year.
That's what Nick and I are doing. We're going up to Country Calling in Maryland.
Yeah.
End of September.
Yes.
To go and just
be a fan.
Just enjoy it. And that one's going to be different for us because that's like a 50,000 person fest. That's like a big boy.
I don't know if I've been anything that big.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah. Honestly. So
it's like overwhelming.
Yeah. And we're going to be like out in the wild for that. Yeah. Which is going to be overwhelming. Which is going to be fun. What are some of your favorite venues, like places to go to shows at here in town?
I love Basement East.
There's something special about the Beast.
There is. Yeah. I've had some really fun nights.
What have been some of your favorite shows, either where there was a big crowd? I also like when you see somebody and you're so early on them. Like I saw Corey Kent open for Colby Cooper at the Basement East, and there were like
I was at that show too.
there were maybe a couple hundred people there.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've seen all of those guys there. Somebody who I feel like there's a lot of like underrated artists, of course, like a Dylan Wheeler that came out crazy.
His voice.
He is incredible.
I love Dylan.
Yes.
It's a good dude.
I love him. Josh Malloy. I mean, I'm obsessed with Josh Malloy. I know we were just with him.
Yeah. You saw he beat me in the foot race while he was still wearing his show clothes. Yes. He still smoked my ass.
I mean, he's one that I think is just like massively underrated.
What a great guy too. And doing it himself.
Exactly.
You know, I'm always working with Muscadine and Trey. I'm always a proudly independent kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Muscadine, same thing. I think we talked about it. But I, before my music industry times, like used to follow new artists on Twitter. And that's how I would really find things and see things. That's how I found Zach Bryan. Parker McCollum actually tweeted, sitting at a bar with my agent telling him about this Zach Bryan kid. So I went and followed Zach Bryan. And that's how I found him. Just from Twitter, but Muscadine, I think I won a Twitter contest and I found the sticker a few weeks ago. They sent me some, like, I think it was a koozie and a sticker, but I was like, I mean, like OG fan, Ginny days. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say Nick was the one that first said it, and I've said it since he pointed it out to me.
Yeah.
If you take their first like batch of EPs and singles and you put that into a first record, that would have been one of the best first records that we've seen in the last decade.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Early Muscadine, I'm partial because I was selling those Porch Swing Angel koozies.
But you also saw the crowds.
Yeah, we were in the Sprinter van, the back of the back of the Sprinter. We had pillows and blankets, and we called it the BK Lounge. And I used to lay in the back of the Sprinter van.
Like, so fancy. See, it's glamorous.
Yeah, and it was, and I was like, this is the greatest thing.
Yeah,
you know, and it's that's the best part. Like you said, is watching these artists grow and then getting to be there, not to even be a part of it, but to watch a Meg Maroney play on a Tuesday night at Live Oak with a Mackenzie Carpenter and Connor Smith.
Yes,
you know?
I had Mackenzie Monday night too.
She's awesome.
She is. She's awesome.
And it's been awesome watching her grow.
Oh, for sure.
When she first moved
her
to town,
solid.
When she first got up here from UGA, you know, it's like you get to see it now. How often, with balancing the office work, now you've been on the road, how often do you try to get out into the scene here in town? Because you and I first met, it had to be before COVID, right?
Probably.
I think it was like 2019 or early 2020.
Yeah.
At Live Oaks. I remember you coming up and introducing yourself, like us meeting at Live Oak back in the day.
Yeah, I try to. I mean, I remember the first, I guess it's only 9 months that I was here because COVID, my parents would call me and be like, hey, you know, you need to sleep, right? And I'm like, yeah, but there's this and this and this going on. Yeah. So I try to be a lot better about it. Work has been great because it's like if I want to go to something that night to network, I'll work from home at least part of the day because, you know, you only have so much mental capacity to talk to people.
But it's so important. I feel like so many important. People, I always tell the A&R folks, like the suits, as I like to call them. Me and Nikki Tito is like, look at all the suits in the crowd. We did a good job tonight.
Yeah.
I always tell them, like, you want to be early, especially like some of the smaller publishers, some of the, the maybe the not sexiest agencies, like whatever. I always tell them, like, come out to these events because you want to be the first. You don't want to be the one chasing with all the other big boys.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you want to be.
It's, so we talked about it. The, is it Fabrizio?
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw him at the last round that I was at with you guys.
Unbelievable.
So I followed him the night that we were there, and I know it was only Nikki T and another agent. I don't have a bunch of agents on my like social media, but I do have some, and it's specifically some that have, you know, the artists that I like, you know, the more underground, like nitty gritty, whatever. There was only one agent that day following him while I was showing him to one of my fairs last weekend. And I bet there's 11 of them now. Wow. So, I mean, they're on it. They're on it, which is cool. Yeah. But like, I love finding the people like that and then just getting to watch them grow. I actually have grids on my computer where I've tracked people. And wow. Like, you can see the growth. And it's like, you know, I'll pick five to start the year off with. And then as I see people, add them. And like, every couple months, go in and update their numbers. And yeah. You can see the growth. That yeah. They have.
How important is the analytics for what you
Very
guys
important.
Do?
Very important. It is, but it isn't. So it's if you see it, you believe in it, people are gonna, you know, feel that too. So like a Hudson that, you know, just had it and sold
out
that fair.
Was sitting in this room with me about this time last year.
Yeah, and brand new at that time.
Before he had played any shows.
Yes.
We were talking about wild. How excited he was to go and play shows in Texas.
It's so wild. And now he's all over the country.
Yes.
And doing very well. Yeah,
setting records at your at your fair.
Yeah, setting records. Even merch, like his merch absolutely killed it. And I think that's a whole nother topic we could talk about because merch is doing so well right now. Yeah. So if you don't have good merch, like what are you doing? No. You're missing that stream of income there. Yeah. Like showing our clients for sure. Cause you know, some of them are older and you know, they want to see how many radio spins this person's getting,
which doesn't happen. It's the way that an artist is broken into the scene and broken into the world.
Yeah.
Is different.
It is. It's completely different. So again, like me talking about not following all these music industry people or like really listening to what's being said and like looking at it. I'm always like, I don't really know how to describe it, but analytics help sometimes. If you really need to like convince somebody of something, they'll help. But also sometimes you just know. So I don't know.
You have that gut feeling about.
Yes, exactly.
Let's take a chance on this
exactly.
Megan Maroney girl.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, you can't really put the numbers behind that.
I can't. I want to know who your people were for this year.
Yeah.
Do you even know off the top of your head?
I know Ty Myers was one for sure. And I mean, yeah, same thing. He's absolutely crushing it.
Yeah.
Like he played last Friday night for us in Nebraska and killed it. I mean, it's the younger guys. Treaty Oak, of course. Yeah. Obviously, they were not smaller.
They're at the point of like headliner next year.
Oh, headlining like big things.
Like, which is crazy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're doing really well, which makes I feel like a proud mom. And I'm like, I had nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah.
But I always feel so proud, even when it's not like my event or venue or whatever. If it's somebody that I personally love, if you've ever been at a concert with me and like, it wasn't even my concert. I'm always just like, just so happy.
Yeah.
And I'm like proud for them because they have to be so proud.
Yeah. And to see, when was your first time seeing Treaty Oak? Talk about them for a second, because again, living in that world where you're kind of on the fringe of Red Dirt, you had to have been known who these guys were for a little while.
I knew
now.
Who they were, but I actually don't think I got to a show until Brooklyn Bowl here. And I remember I flew in, I can't remember where I was at. I flew in from somewhere pretty far away. I think it was LA. So, you know, 4-hour flight, which is not fun. And I went home, showered, changed, went to Brooklyn Bowl. Cause it was like, I'm not missing that show. And it was a show that, I mean, I came back to the office and I was like, I have not seen a show probably since Zach Bryan where just the whole entire crowd.
Just
I mean,
buzz,
it is
like
yes,
crazy.
You see grown men and not really older grown men, grown little men, younger men hugging each other and like singing with their arms around each other's necks. And I feel like that crowd, probably Red Dirt in general, a lot of the times, like it's a lot of guys, you know. Zach Bryan, I saw him at the Ryman and it's a lot of guys. Tyler Childers, a lot of guys. So you have the different crowds like that, which means you're selling some beer.
Yeah.
So that's always good news for venues. But yeah, it was... it was really cool to see that and then see what they're doing now is crazy.
Yeah, we've been lucky to see them a few times. Yeah. Nick and Kurt just had them on the podcast.
Yeah.
We've gotten to know them very well over the past like year or so.
Yeah.
We got to see them in Stillwater, Oklahoma this year.
And at best place. We've talked about this one. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, headlining Cat Fry.
Yes.
Outback of the Tumbleweed.
Yeah, iconic festival.
Yeah. And it was that day was crazy because it was like Hudson was on before Vincent Mason.
Because they knew what they were doing.
It was Hudson into Vincent, yeah, into Old 60 in the Treaty Oak.
Yeah.
And watching, I think that night set a record for Cat Fry.
Oh, I believe it. Absolutely believe it.
It was chaos. Like, yeah, it was crazy. And yeah, talking to those guys before that show, they said, we've played inside here so many times, yeah, but we've never... This is our first like big headlining thing in Oklahoma, in our neck of the woods, and it was awesome.
And they're breaking records.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, Hudson and the full lineup had something to do with all of that, but still.
Ty Myers was the first one on the next day.
Insane.
On Wyatt Flores Day.
Yep.
Like, it's you see that where, and it doesn't always work like that, where you hit on...
It doesn't.
Where you hit on everything.
It doesn't.
You know?
You just have to hope. Hope for the best. And
then sometimes even you end up, you invest in a headliner and then the direct support does better than the headliner.
Is the one selling the tickets. Absolutely. And that's what, you know, being a lot in the fair world, I rarely get to book, you know, a full lineup full of people like that. But I still like to help my coworkers when they get to do it. Or if, you know, if they need a baby act for a smaller amount of money that we can hope for. And I've gotten to where... One, it's great to book early because you do get lucky sometimes like that where you're paying a lot less and the value is incredible. But two, some of the events, it's like, okay, let's lock in your headliner that we believe in, but let's wait on an opener. You know, if you have anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 to spend, I am always paying attention. You know, you pay me to do this. Let me do my job and just trust me. So whenever I see somebody and I'm like, this is about to happen, let's try. You know, and a couple times it's been before the agents they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, just, we're going to do it. And it happens. And I'm like, yes, this is what we wanted.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. What kind of advice would you give to a young girl or a young guy that's looking to find their way into the industry and thinking about getting into that talent buying event space, the world that you live in?
I think, you know, there's a lot of venues all over the country and I feel like a lot of people get their start there. So like, I wouldn't have even had that in my hometown, but get in and figure out like whether you want to do production or not, like go be a stagehand. You might not be getting paid, but at least you're in it and you're going to have more knowledge for when you do get a little bit older and you're going to meet people.
Yeah.
Like one guy, a tour manager I was with 3 days ago, he worked at George's. He was a stagehand and like knew my cousin back in the day and is like now where he's at. And same thing, being a good person, also move to Nashville. It's the easiest thing that you can do, I think. And then do your research. I mean, you can literally use ChatGPT now and say, hey, what are some talent buying companies? And just start reaching out to people. Now, don't be creepy about it, but like just start reaching out to people. And most people are willing to talk. You know, whether it's like just taking you under their wing or getting a coffee with them, reach out and ask. And LinkedIn is a thing. I feel like not everyone's on LinkedIn. Like, don't be afraid to follow somebody on Instagram and just reach out. It's not,
I say Instagram's the Nashville business card.
It is. It's the Nashville business card. And I, you know, there for a while, I was like, oh, that's creepy. It's not creepy. No, people have their stuff out there for a reason and just don't be scared. The worst thing that can happen is you get a no or they don't reply. And then at that point, it's fine. You know, maybe you'll be great. And then they'll see you in the future and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I never got back to you.
I've had that with artists before.
Exactly.
Like with what we do.
Don't take it personally.
No, exactly.
That is.
You talk about like Michelle and RJ and the Romeo family and everything. Who have been some mentors for you?
I mean, there's some really great agents out there. There's Shannon Casey. I remember we have the Romeo party every year at IAFI, one of our conventions. And I remember the first year I got to go. So it was pre-COVID. She'll probably never remember this, but we were just sitting there at a table and she gave me the time of day, basically, and has always let me call her with anything and everything. And we've gotten to do a lot of shows together and she's always kind of somebody I can bounce ideas off of. Same with Andrew McWilliams, who has Treaty Oak and some of the boys now. There's some good people out there that are always willing to help and talk, like I said.
Yeah. And what's something you would tell that 10, 11, 12-year-old girl that is feeling at home going down Broadway, walking out of that Italian restaurant? Like,
just do
looking it. Looking back to that, you as like a young adolescent, preteen, to where you're at now at 29 years old, and the cool stuff that you've gotten to do and that you're getting to do and being a part of one of the staple companies in the industry that you're in, you know, like, what's something that you would tell young Carly?
Dream big, I guess. Yeah. Like that's it. Dream big. And, I don't know. Life is crazy. Like, just accept things for what they are and have a good attitude and be nice to people, you know? That's about it.
Being a good person doesn't require much. That's the thing. Whenever I hear about somebody being an a-hole I'm like, why?
What?
It's not hard to be a nice guy or a nice girl.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard.
Yeah. I specifically do that on the road because obviously I'm like buying talent and most of the times handing the artist their check at the end of the day. And it's like, people don't really, I feel like there's a respect if they like think that you're somebody, but it's like, I'm not going to tell you any of that stuff because I want to see how you treat people, you know? And sometimes it's like, oh, I didn't realize that's who you were. And I'm like, just be nice. Just like, be nice to everybody here. Yeah. Like, I don't care who it is. It's not that hard. It's very telling, which is fun.
Yeah. And festivals and events are a team sport.
100%.
From the artist side to the guys and girls doing security, to the guys and girls selling the popcorn, to the people parking cars in the parking lot of the campground, to
literally
the talent buyers,
everyone.
To the stage techs.
People picking up trash.
Yeah.
Those are important people.
People doing videos and us doing the side stage stuff like we've gotten to do with you guys.
Yeah.
Like,
you're adding to the experience.
It's a team sport. Yeah. And it's just, everybody's nice.
Exactly.
We're going to have a great time.
Exactly. I see like parking people sometimes. This happened at Crossroads. Dancing, you know, just dancing in the parking lot.
I'm
like, you made me happy as soon as I pulled in here. And it's like 4 hours before a festival. Yeah. And I appreciate it. Bartenders having fun behind the scenes, like putting glitter on people's faces. Little things.
Merch sellers, those people
that don't hate their life.
Yeah,
I love it.
The promo people working the activations.
Yes.
Like it's all about the experience and the vibes.
Yeah. If you don't like your job, go work somewhere else.
Exactly.
I promise somebody wants to do your job.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on here.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being such a champion for Nick and I and
Race
Rowdy.
Fun stuff coming.
A lot of fun stuff coming. And we talked about it before, but I will plug it on here. The Cali Country Cruise in 2026.
We'll see you there.
Yes.
We expect it.
Yes. Me, Nikki T, Carly will be there.
Oh, yeah.
Chase Rice will be there. Tracy Lawrence will be there. Jody Messina, Gretchen Wilson, Tyler Rich, my boy Trey Lewis.
Yep.
Trey Lewis on a boat. Like, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a good time.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. The clients are awesome, too. And I mean, talk about like the vibes police. Like, they will make sure everyone has a good time.
And it'll be the first time that Ray's Rowdy has set sail on a ship. Nick is going on the Super Legends, which I'm very excited to hear.
I'm excited to hear all about it, too. Adventure. He's going to have a great time. It'll be awesome.
He's going to have the time of his life.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Will.
But seriously, thank you for being such a great advocate for us
and
being one of the good people in this
I'm
industry.
Excited.
Like, your positivity and your energy and your vibes, just, they make me feel great every time I'm around you.
Good.
I have the opportunity
to
talk with you. So
seriously,
we need more people like you in this world of music.
Same to you.
It'll beat you down. Well, I appreciate that very much. What's if somebody did want to reach out to you, what's the best way? Would it be by email? Would it be by Instagram? What's
probably
the best
way? Instagram. I think everything I have is iCarlDibs. Like, I call dibs, but iCarlDibs.
Like,
all my friends call me Carl. So that's where that came from. It's been like that since I was younger, and I'm not changing it.
Perfect. There you go. Well, appreciate you so much for coming on. Shout out to our friends from Surfside, Vodka Lemonade, Vodka Iced Tea, Vodka Green Tea. No bubbles, no troubles. It is, in fact, sunshine in a can. For more on us, visit RaiseRowdy.com. Be sure to check out our girl Carly Dibble, Romeo Entertainment, good friends of the family here at Raise Rowdy. For my girl Carly, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Behind the Music Biz. We'll be right back.